Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' second win in a row, 26-16 over the Texans. We'll also hear from wide receiver Marquise Goodwin. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, the tide has definitely turned for the San Francisco 49ers. Once they put Jimmy Garoppolo in there, they look like a different team. Now they've won two road games in a row. Granted, they're not the best teams in the NFL, the Bears and the Texans, but still, everything looks a lot different now for this team. So what do you think about them going forward?
Well, hopefully we can keep the win streak going.
Yeah, exactly.
The winning streak, it's two wins.
That hadn't happened in 3 years, actually.
I saw that, 2014, I think it said.
Yeah, just two games in a row. Some, yeah.
Wow. They looked good. I mean, they as you said a second ago, they beat two teams that aren't great. I think that the Niners aren't great. I think they make there's still a bunch of mistakes that they need to cut out, but they made plays and overcame those mistakes.
Yeah, the penalties really kill them, for one thing, right?
The penalties kill them, or just kill them, and just couple of those now. This could be a couple of those where they're not lined up properly.
Yeah.
They need to help out Garoppolo, because obviously they know more than he does, at least they should, because they've been in the offense longer. So they need to help him out, which was one of the issues back in the beginning of the season, where they weren't getting lined up properly. I mean, they're covering over themselves, and just some penalties like that are those just kill you. And but you know, that said, they made some plays when they needed to, and overcame those.
Yeah, they definitely have to clean up the penalties. You shake your head at some of those. But they also have to clean up, I think, a little bit of miscommunication every once in a while, because Garoppolo looks great. There's no doubt about that. But every once in a while, like the interception he had, there was some miscommunication, it looked like, with him and Trent Taylor. And you felt that a few times even with Marquise Goodwin, where, you know, he went one way on a route, the throw went the other. Just, you know, I guess, you know, they haven't played together all that often.
Right. I'm trying to remember the exact situation of the – this is not coming to me right this second – of the first interception. I don't remember exactly, but I will say in general, there were a number of times where there were three guys, sometimes just – yeah, no, I'm going to say three guys that were at different levels – but they were in the same vertical space. You know, watching it on TV, like, ooh, who's he throwing it to? Ooh. I mean, they were most of them were completed. But there were, I don't know, I just thought a number of times that it looked odd to me or incorrect that they would have three guys like that, like I said, at three different levels.
Yeah, no, I noticed that too.
As Montana used to joke about saying, "Oh, this is the Cowboys' offense. Just get three guys in a row and just throw it. One of them will catch it."
No, I noticed. I think there was one where he threw in the end zone that I was a little baffled. I actually wished they had a better replay, or if I was sitting there in the end zone, I could see, because Marquise Goodwin looked like he just didn't even jump for the ball. And I thought it was actually a pretty decent pass that he could have caught for a touchdown, and it went sailing over him, but he didn't jump. And it was the same kind of thing where there were a bunch of receivers around. Maybe he didn't think it was for him. I don't know. It was a little confusing.
I don't know. There were a number of times, but I mean, overall, it was, I would say, still better than it's been, obviously, because they've won. I will say that there are a few guys that never played center field and tracked a baseball.
Right, exactly. Well, one of them would be Carlos Hyde, right?
Carlos Hyde.
Yeah. Man, he should have caught that ball. That was a touchdown.
But I mean, I say that I kind of say that jokingly, because you can always tell on a guy that his body is now going. His body at the end was going away from the ball.
Right.
You know, fading to his left when the ball was going to his right. And Goodwin's, I can kind of accuse him of it sometimes too, where he makes a spectacular catch over the middle, arms extended, snatches it in his hands, you know, pulls it in, runs with it. And then there are other times where he just, the body control, like way off, like, wait, yeah. How did he not adjust to that ball? You know, but I think that goes back to what I've always talked about with them, that they're kind of slight guys, and they get knocked around, you know?
They do. Yeah, I agree. There were a couple times where he just didn't seem like he reacted to the ball or adjusted correctly. And, and Hyde, I don't know. Hyde is a decent running back, but and he catches the ball every once in a while, okay, but he's no Roger Craig. And I hate to, Roger Craig
not
on a pedestal.
Tom Rathman, for sure.
Right. Roger Craig had great hands for a running back, right? Wasn't he exceptional? Yeah. You talked about it. Generally, you don't expect your running back to catch everything, but Roger Craig caught everything, it seemed like.
He did catch. He caught a lot. But I am going to go back to your point last week about Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, man, he is so good.
He is. That's the first time I've really watched him. That's the real deal.
I told you, I saw him in person the week before, and I hadn't seen him in person in a while. He's improved a lot. I think I saw him as a rookie. He's amazing.
Body control, route running, just snatching the ball out of the air. That's how you catch passes.
11 catches, 149 yards, 2 touchdowns. Amazing.
The one on the sideline?
I
still disagree, it was not a catch.
I didn't think it was a catch either. He wasn't controlling it when he was in bounds.
He did not have control when his first foot hit. And his right foot hit out of bounds when his left foot hit inbounds when he did have
control. When he did have control. That was a bad call. That was terrible.
I thought that was a bad review.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. That was a great catch he made. Unbelievable catch on that touchdown when he dove.
Great catch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does have great hands.
That's Jerry Rice-like, just snatch the ball out of the air.
And I will give Fox credit. I love the two little videos they had from their production meeting, which you never see that. But they had the one where Mark Schlereth was fighting him for the ball, and his hand was so strong.
That's an old trick that we used to do all the time.
Really?
That was a Jerry Rice trick, because he could beat everybody.
Wow.
I mean, his hands are the same way. When Jerry had a ball in his hands, it looked like he was holding a baseball.
That was great. I love the Kyle Shanahan calling the play, which was so complicated to the average viewer. You're just going, what? What is that play?
So complicated. But you know what? The whole part before the H2, before he said H2?
H2, yeah.
Okay, H2 is the play. That's play action.
Okay.
That whole thing that he said before H2 was formation, shift, and motion. Which is you got to simplify that. I mean, that's just,
especially for a new quarterback, I would think that'd be pretty tough.
You got to simplify it. Yeah, I don't remember I didn't remember. I should have played it back and listened to it close again. You know, a couple more times to piece it together in my head. But once he got to H2, I was like, then whatever you call it, H2, whatever. But he did. You know, A is a back motion. I remember him saying that, and then I don't remember what the exact starting formation was, but it was like, holy mackerel, no wonder they're getting lined up wrong.
Exactly. It's complicated, yeah. Especially for a new quarterback. But getting back to the hands of Hopkins and how strong they are, even though he has the strong hands, he still had that fumble because Adrian Colbert drilled him right in the hands. Head. That was a great
face
forced
on the
fumble.
Ball.
Yeah.
Yep. Nose on the ball.
And that was big. I mean, that was about the six-minute mark in the fourth quarter, and then they got a field goal after that.
Yep. Yeah. And thank goodness we have Robbie Gould.
He's really remarkable, too. He has missed two all year. I think he's, 30 out of 32 now, and he makes the 50-plus. He's made all three of those. He's so reliable.
I think one of those misses is a doink off the upright.
Right. So it's really very close to being a make. He's been very dependable. For a team that's 3-10, they definitely are okay in that area.
for sure. But I actually didn't look. I didn't look at stats. I'm assuming first down, third down conversion was good.
No, it was actually it was surprisingly not. It was two. They were two of eleven.
Okay.
I think, but they had a lot of yards. They had over 400 yards. I think part of the third down. Here's my theory on the third down. As it is, Jadeveon Clowney is pretty awesome. And he's coming after Jimmy Garoppolo. When you're third down and long, forget about it, right? I mean, he's
a beast.
Yeah.
He is. Well, and the Niners made big plays. The Celek catch and run.
That was a great play.
You know, the Juszczyk catch and run.
Down the sideline,
Down the sideline. That takes me back to Juszczyk. Mark Schlereth was actually pretty animated about him and talking about that. Well, there's 11 consonants in his name. We only need 11 guys like this. And he was going on and on about it. I don't know if you watched the telecast.
I did. No, I watched the whole thing. It was good. That was good.
Yeah. I thought that was good. That was good pub for him.
Yeah. He also brought up something about zone blocking that I don't know if you could explain it to the average listener. He said that Hyde had to really follow along with the zone blocking. Is that difficult to do?
You know, I do remember when he said that, and to be honest, I thought he was a little bit wrong in what he said, and surprisingly, so Mark Schlereth played, you know, he played in the beginning of his career with the Redskins,
right?
In that, you know, the counter game, so a lot of pulling and trapping by linemen. But when he went to Denver under Mike Shanahan, their offensive line coach was a guy by the name of Alex Gibbs, who was my coach when I was in Kansas City. And Alex's whole running game was all based on zone blocking. So basically, best description always was by Bob McKittrick that you were Dumbo and you were grabbing the tail of the elephant in front of you with your trunk and following one another. You know what I mean? So you're all scooping one way or another, and helping each other and basically like building a wall for the running back to either stay on the play side or cut it back because everybody over pursued.
I could see how that works, but don't you still have to freelance like Hyde did on his touchdown? Remember, there wasn't an opening, and then he went around. He kind of bounced out of it.
And that point that he made there, I would say, yeah, was correct. I mean, Carlos, he's down in there. Okay, you're trying to run it up inside.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden you run up into the backs of some of your guys, and when you've done that, you've brought everybody into a pile. Now you can bounce it and go. You know, that's where someone like Le'Veon Bell, who is so good at, he kind of gets up in there like he's run into them, but he hasn't.
Right, and he's just waiting for an opportunity.
He sucks everybody in there, and then boom, then he bounces it.
Yeah,
you know,
he's so patient.
He waits. He waits that little hole to that little crack to open, and then boom, he's through it. So I think that Carlos has done. I think he's done really well with this zone blocking scheme because it's. it is rare that you see a, you know, it's rare that you see a guard or a tackle pull once in a while. You know, once in a while you do in games. Shoot, centers nowadays are they're probably the more nimble people just because of the size of offensive linemen in general today. But I think Carlos has done a really nice job. Breida has as well. And again, I think that the Niners this week, they didn't run the ball great, but they kept at it. You know, it helps the play action game, and they kept at the running game. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get a 15 to 20 yard run, which I think Carlos had there.
Yeah, 31 yards.
Again,
yeah.
Relatively late in the game.
Uh huh. And they needed that. Yeah.
And then they needed that. That's what I mean. You still need this, and you can stay with it when you're in a close game. But you know, that's the other part of it. I mean, most of their games this year have been close. But there have been some where they've been, you know, out of whack, and unfortunately you have to abandon the running game and throw the ball every down because you're trying to score more. But I think they've done a nice job, even though I don't know what they rushed for on Sunday. But
they had 102, and they actually mixed it up pretty well as far as play selection. They were right around 30 rushes and 33 passes, so that was pretty good.
And that's what he wants to be, and that's perfect. It's not a ton of rushing yards, you know, whatever that comes out to, 3 point whatever per rush. But they stuck with it, and as I said, it helps the passing game. It for sure helps the play action game, which is a big part of Kyle's offense. And I think will help Garoppolo, and I think it has already. Even though he's, you know, they're it's probably a little bit more play action game than they had in New England, but it will definitely help him.
We'll continue the conversation with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Get more into Jimmy Garoppolo's play in just a moment. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on special offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. I want to talk about why Garoppolo is a difference maker, because it seems like there's many reasons. He comes in there that first game that he stepped in off the bench, and you looked at that one play, the touchdown. Wow, that was pretty good. And then he was really good against the Bears. And this time, you know, the numbers show, too, that he was good. He threw for 334 yards. He did get sacked a couple times. He was kind of running for his life a little bit. But his footwork, it just seems like it's elite. You know, I mean, the way he's able to set up to make throws, he's decisive, he's quick on his release, all of those factors.
His footwork is pretty good. I honestly think it can be better. Because he has such a strong arm, he gets stuck in that back on his back foot a little bit.
He could kind of throw flat-footed a little bit, right?
He does. But he can get away with it because of his arm strength. I would like this week. I saw a little bit more than last week that I thought he got stuck at the top of his drop a little bit. You know, his base was a little bit too wide.
Okay.
And I'd like to see him get back, climb back in the pocket a little bit more, and kind of narrow his base just a tiny bit that he can kind of get a little bit of a hit step or a reset step, you know, before he has to let it rip. But that said, he gets away with it because he has such a strong arm.
He does. And it's not like he's winding up to make a throw. It kind of reminds me of the shortstop who has a strong arm who could just gun it to first without, you know, taking a big step and throw. You know what I mean? He could be on his knees and throw somebody out at first base. Garoppolo seems like
he can
quickly release the football and have velocity on it and accuracy.
And he has accuracy. That's the key. And he's got a confidence in himself you know, hopefully always, but for sure right now, where he can, he can put that ball in some tight windows, and you know, there may not be a, which is nice. The guy may not have even come out of his break yet, but he's confident and letting it rip, and that's good. I mean, I like that. It's helped. There's no question.
And apparently he is exuding confidence to his teammates. Let's listen in to Marquise Goodwin, one of his receivers, complimenting Garoppolo as a leader.
He's a leader. He's natural at it. He doesn't struggle at any point of the game. And when you see that in a position that he's in, it gives you extreme confidence. When you look at him in the third quarter or in the second quarter and you're down by one, you know, or up by one, you feel that sense of hope. You feel that sense of, I'm going to get the job done. And at no point in the game do I ever feel like we're behind or we're slacking in that position, because he's led us the whole way from start to finish.
And that says a lot when one of your teammates says that about you as a leader. I mean, it kind of changes the whole attitude of the team, doesn't it?
It does. And they even... I don't remember, they being Dick Stockton and Mark Schlereth at the beginning of the game talked about it, or at some point in the game they talked about it. I remember them saying that, you know, that they like that, or that the people around the organization have commented about his confidence and the way he carries himself and the way that his teammates have accepted him. So that was good to hear. I didn't hear that quote from Goodwin, but I did hear those guys talk about it during the telecast. And it shows, there's no question. It shows. I mean, that's part of what we just talked about, of, you know, feeling confident enough to release the ball early, or, you know, get it out of your hand before you take a sack. I would say for 90% of it, he's made the right read. There were one or two I thought on Sunday, like, oops, on the replay, like, oops, that was not a good read. Actually, one of them might have been that interception.
Right.
It was not a good read where he missed it. But, hey, that's going to happen. But it definitely shows that he's confident and knows what he's looking at.
You know, we talked about this a little bit last week. Both of us, we're excited about this. You know, you got a quarterback in here.
Yeah.
This team hasn't won in a while. And you know, but you do have to temper your enthusiasm a little bit, don't you? Because, you know, there's a lot of hoopla surrounding him right now. A lot. There's a lot. And he's handling it great. I mean, this guy, he just seems like he's so even keel. He kind of reminds me of a, you know, Buster Posey type, where he's not going to let anything, you know, get to him, whether it's down or if it's high. We haven't seen him have a big struggle yet, so we don't know too much about that. But, you know, I see these comparisons, like, you know, Fox is showing Brady running on the field and then Garoppolo running on the field. And
I saw that.
You know, you see that. And then you, even last week, you see he threw one towards the corner. He was rolling right. He threw it in the corner of the end zone. Next replay is, or next, flashback is Montana to Clark. It's like, wait a minute.
Right,
you know,
right.
This is so unfair to him. How do you feel about that?
I've kind of felt the same way, that, like, okay, just slow down a little bit. Okay, we got two wins.
Right.
We're all excited. We all love it. We got an Italian quarterback. That's great.
right. We love that. Yeah.
But it does seem to be a little, there's I don't know, there's a lot of excitement. So. I hope that, to your point, that, like, for him, you know, like, okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's keep working, keep getting better, you know, see if we're good enough to, you know, beat the Titans and the Jaguars now, and the Rams, who are all, you know, looking at playoffs.
Oh yeah, the schedule's going to be interesting, because they're right in the thick of teams that are fighting for it, starting with Tennessee.
That's what I mean. That are buying playoffs. So that's you know, go with the enthusiasm, but there does seem, from the media, there does seem to be a lot right now. You just even from the national media, you know, I just you see these blurbs here and there, and like, okay, we won two games, but we are still three and ten. So let's, you know, let's keep it in perspective.
Yeah, and the comparisons too, Steve, the comparisons. I mean, you know, he's got to just be his own quarterback, right? I mean, you can't, they're throwing these names out in Tony Romo, and I could see a little Tony Romo, but that's for us, but he almost has to turn off the TV, right?
Yeah, totally. Got to be your own guy, but yeah, they're, you know, that's for the media to make those comparisons. But I was going to say, okay, we're 3-10, and we've got three games left. We've won two. I've been talking about this for 2 years now, that I've been on a team that went 1-10, 10 losses in a row, and won 5 in a row. So I ended up 6-10. Hey, it can happen. So I hope that, and I think it's happening. Guys are learning. Young guys are learning what it takes to win and what you have to, you know, what you have to do at the end of the game. Now, as we talked about in the beginning of this conversation, some of those things are eliminating some of the stupid penalties.
Right.
You know, taking care of the ball, which they got the turnover they needed. I think they may have even commented, were they still minus 5, which I didn't realize, on the season in turnover ratio?
Oh, that I'm not sure about that, but this
I think they commented on that. So, you know, that seems to be, if that is the case, that's getting better. That number's getting better, and they got a big turnover when they needed it at a critical time in the game.
Right.
So those are the kind of things that that people need to make happen, and they're making them happen now. You know, those, as Tom Moore always said, that's not luck.
No,
because you made a play, and made the guy cough up the ball, and you got the ball back. That's hard work and good fundamentals.
I agree with that,
I think that causes that,
right. I think going forward, too, for Garoppolo, the thing that really helps him is that you could have all the talent in the world, but those other aspects of being a quarterback are so important, and I think Joe Staley kind of outlined it really well. I mean, he was talking about how you are who you are as a person. You can't fake it, and he said that he's very detail-oriented, focused, competitive, fiery guy.
Yep.
I love that. When I read that, I'm like, you know, you're hearing that from an offensive lineman. You know that this guy is well-prepared for every game.
Who's been around?
Yeah. Exactly. So even if he had mediocre talent, you'd be going, okay, well, look at that. I mean, that's what you want from your quarterback, all those aspects.
That's making up for a lot. Yep. I agree.
Well, look forward to this game against Tennessee. They're fighting for a playoff spot. You know, like you said, the other two teams after that as well. Going to be a great first start at home for Jimmy Garoppolo. By the way, he did leave it kind of open, like, yeah, well, if I'm starting, that's funny. I mean, he can't be that modest that he said, if I'm starting, you know, like as if they're not going to start him all of a sudden.
No. I mean, obviously they're going to start him. And I hope that we rip off 3 in a row. I really do. I mean, because can you imagine what the off-season enthusiasm would be like? Oh,
it would be great.
So much more fun.
Things can change quickly in sports. That's for sure.
Yep. Penthouse to the outhouse quickly, and outhouse to the penthouse quickly.
Yeah, well, hopefully it continues. Steve, thanks so much for today, and talk to you again next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the 49ers home game against the Tennessee Titans. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.